10 years ago today, Bill Clinton made good on a campaign promise he'd made to the nation as a candidate for president 4 years earlier.
An America where we end welfare as we know it. We will say to those on welfare, you will have and you deserve the opportunity through training and education, through child care and medical coverage to liberate yourself. But then, when you can, you must work, because welfare should be a second chance, not a way of life.
President Clinton signed the 1996 Welfare Reform Law, which had been passed by the Republican-controlled Congress. Its basic principle: most people on public assistance would have to work for their checks or take steps toward getting a job. As a result, millions of women have entered the workforce. 10 years later, many of those women are asking if they're really better off. NPR's Rachel Jones has some answers.
Welcome to Angelia Jordan's world.
Makai, Caleb, and Deontay. Yes, let's go.
It's 7:30 a.m., and the 29-year-old from Lansing, Michigan, has rounded up her six young children. They've climbed into a used blue van Jordan got a few months ago. Then they're off on their daily routine.
I'm taking them to two different daycares, going to work, riding around job searching Monday through Thursday before I go to work and after I go to work.
3 years ago, Jordan was married and making pretty good money braiding hair in Lansing. But she says her husband wasn't working. Bills and tensions mounted. They divorced a year and a half ago. After months of scrambling between classes at Davenport College, work-study job, and daycare, Jordan applied for cash from Michigan's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program back in July. But she says, don't count her down or out.
I'm a very determined female, and with me being young and black, I don't want to fall into the statistics that they have for me. If they expect me to get a Taco Bell job, I'm going to try and get something better.
The 1996 law that scrapped the decades-old Aid to Families with Dependent Children program created a revolution of sorts as millions of women entered the workforce. One man who helped shape the law sums it up simply: goodbye, welfare queen. Hello, working mother.
The intended beneficiaries have responded like they took it right out of the playbook.
Ron Haskins is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution in Washington. 10 years ago, he advised House Republicans about welfare issues. He also helped write the TANF law.
Now the typical welfare story is a mom gets up at 5, takes her kids to two different places, goes to work for 8 hours and retraces her steps, or has trouble getting out of an $8-an-hour job.
Or even finding a job, period. Still, Haskins calls TANF a huge success. The national welfare caseload plunged from more than 12.5 million people in 1996 to just about 4.5 million last year. And, Haskins says, TANF gave poor women the kind of positive incentive they never had under the old welfare program.
They got their earned income tax credit. They greatly improved their financial status. Probably 1.5 million took their kids out of poverty. And it's because of their efforts. We have very clear Census Bureau data showing that their income from welfare from the mid-90s to 2000 declined every single year as a group.
And the benefits didn't stop with moms. Poverty for all children fell. For black children, it dropped 25%. That's the lowest level in four decades. And research suggests that for the youngest poor children, seeing their mothers go to work each day helps them set higher goals for their own futures. But many TANF recipients say they're working, they just aren't getting anywhere. Like Angelia Jordan, they say the only real path out of poverty is higher education. But the way things are, it's all they can do to keep their families afloat.
It's a sink or swim sort of culture.
Avis Jones DeWeaver studies poverty issues at the Institute for Women's Policy Research in Washington. She agrees that, yes, more women are working, but for many, their pay doesn't even come close to covering all their expenses.
The cost of transportation, the cost of childcare, the cost of having to get lunch, the cost of having to dress for work, all of those things end up in a situation where even though people feel more empowered, their actual quality of life has not improved.
I'm driving almost 300 miles a week.
Again, Angelia Jordan.
Just to do everything that Work First requires, go to work 25, 30 hours a week, go to school full-time, and pick up and drop off my kids, plus go job searching the amount of time they expect me to.
Today is Friday, and that means Jordan is sitting in a classroom with about 30 other women at a Lansing Community Center. They're all enrolled in Michigan's Work First program, which helps TANF recipients get ready for jobs. During the four-hour session, the women talk about their job searches and get tips on job openings from coordinator Letty Sneed.
Johnny Rockets, if anybody's interested, is always hiring, but you have to be willing to sing and dance when certain songs come on.
If you miss one of these weekly sessions without a good excuse, you lose your TANF benefits. The women here say they're playing by the rules, but that doesn't seem to matter. Another Work First coordinator, Stacy Dent, prods for more information.
What are the frustrations that you guys are facing when you're out there?
I feel like this. I feel like they're judging me.
They are. You're coming in there pregnant and you want a job?
Some of the women here say they don't mind working while they're pregnant. They just want to have a job after the baby comes. 37-year-old Annette Stamm is married and 5 months pregnant with her first child. But she says even with a history of good jobs, she can't find work.
I was a district manager of Goodwill Industries, bookkeeper at Farmer Jack's. I moved my way up quick, so they call the references and stuff. Everything's going to check out, but I'm not sure what the problem is. So that's why I'm thinking it's the pregnancy.
Other women say that when they find a job, getting to it is another obstacle. Shamik Jones is 25 with 3 children and a criminal record. She says she's worked since she was 16, but never in the type of job she'd like to have.
I've been an assistant manager at a fast food restaurant for a number of years. And other than that, it's just been like fast food, other shift supervisors and all that.
Across America, women with these kinds of barriers to employment pose the biggest challenge for the TANF program. Advocates for the poor say that until issues like daycare, transportation, and education are fully addressed, it may be impossible to move TANF to the next level. Rachel Jones, NPR News.
That 1996 welfare law did little to help poor young fathers. You can read experts weighing in on how government policy could reverse that trend at npr.org.